So anyway, let's get into this morning's word. Priceless promises, number 6. You will receive God's guidance. Did I get an amen?
Amen.
As a kid, I needed, this may be hard to realise, but I needed a lot of guidance. Although I didn't realise it at the time. When I grew up to be a teenager, I needed it even more. I knew it, but I did everything I could not to receive it. When I got married, I needed guidance more than ever. I knew it, I was willing to receive it, but I just wasn't quite sure where to find it. And then when I was becoming a parent, I definitely needed guidance. And finally, I found it through the Word of God. Maybe you've had a similar experience, or maybe you've been receptive to guidance your whole life. Now, there are plenty of places to find guidance these days, and there's always the internet. There's always advice on everything from acne to parenting. And you could watch Dr. Phil every day on TV, or one of the other advice or counselling shows so prevalent on TV now. But you know, there is always that good old standby, which in the end we discover is the best place for guidance of all. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." Now, why is it so that we spend so much time seeking answers for life's most important questions where we know we are not going to find satisfactory answers? I'm not saying that God does not use others to guide us, or and all those other resources that are available to us are bad, because that's hardly the case. I believe that God raises up professionals in various areas, doctors, for instance, friends and others who can counsel us in many situations. But at our very core, we need more than anything else is direct guidance from God, whom we have come here this morning to worship. I just want to say, well done, Kay, for taking us in that worship. If those of you don't know, she was very crook on Thursday and Friday, and she could hardly speak this morning when she came into my office. Well done. First and foremost, God's guidance is necessary if we're going to live our lives the way he intended. Now, the verse that I've just read is one of the priceless promises from God that we've been focusing on for the past 5 messages in this series. And if you're new here today, this is message number 6. You can get all the messages on the net. Okay? And today I want us to take a fairly in-depth look at this particular promise. Now, there are 3 actions that we can take to accept this promise into our lives. Number 1 in your outline is trust in God. Trust in him. What do you need in a pinch? What do you rely on in a disaster when things are falling apart in your world? What do you trust? What do you trust in when you're in survival mode? Now, I heard a story while I was up at Exmouth, some European backpackers. You have a picture there. They got stuck in a storm just a few months ago, where there was widespread flooding. And those who don't know, Ningaloo is actually on a floodplain. Anyway, the rangers asked them to evacuate, but they decided to stay put. And the rangers, they told the rangers what they needed to ride out the storm, explaining that they had a 4-wheel drive. Well, that's great. They had alcohol. They had smokes and then a bit of food and water. The ranger was gobsmacked, absolutely gobsmacked. Well, you can tell what happened to them. It's quite a survival list, isn't it? These backpackers were depending on their own understanding. Well, our family were put in a similar situation in Exmouth a couple of weeks ago. We were told that we maybe have to be evacuated due to a low pressure system coming down from Onslow, with up to 240 mil of rain going to be dumped in this floodplain. The rain was coming. On our survival list, on our Pierce family survival list, the first thing was to pray. I knew we were going to be okay. But guess what happened? This big low pressure system came down to Exmouth, and it did. Exmouth got flooded, okay? 40 kilometres away from us, the homestead got flooded. Everyone got evacuated into the evacuation area. They all got flooded out. And I'm telling you the truth here. Well, I was telling you the truth. I've got my family to back it up and all the people at our camp. These big, dark, black, horrible clouds were coming in, and as they were coming in, this is our camp, Osprey Bay, the dark clouds were going up to Exmouth and down to Coral Bay and parting over our campsite. Wow. Amen? I mean, some of you are probably going to say, "Oh, well, it happened." And people, we have photos and everything. Get the next photo. I mean, God was on our side. That's at our campsite. That's what we were up against. And those clouds that were coming towards us there were just fizzing out. It was incredible. I was gobsmacked. People around us were gobsmacked. They're going, "Oh, the pastor's doing his stuff." And I said, "Hey, it's not me. It's God. Give him the glory." So everyone else got flooded out except us. Isn't that great? I felt sorry for the other people, but hey, who cares? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. The truth of the matter is, what we need most of all is to place our trust in the one who knows more about our situation than we do. We also need to trust him who has power to do something about our situation and who has the answers that we're looking for. Our passage tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Now, there are a couple of ways we can do that. Number one is trust his word. Trust his word. Believe in his word. In Jesus' prayer in John 17:17, it says, "Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth." Jesus said it. Well, we can believe it if he said it. Here we have an absolute guidance which never fails. We can trust that what God has revealed to us is true and we can rely on it. Many times the guidance we need is already available to us in the Bible. And while I'm certainly for praying and needing guidance, oftentimes the answer is already written for us in black and white. And a lot of the times, if you've got red in your Bible, it's always truth in red. Sometimes we approach God and say, "God, I really need you to speak to me." Have you ever had those moments where, "God, I really want you to speak to me." And this is gathering dust in the lounge room or your bedroom. "God, I really want you to speak to me. God, why aren't you speaking to me?" If you want God to speak to you, pick up the Word of God. And the truth of the matter is, he's already spoken to us in his word. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Wow. We can trust in God's word because it is inspired by God himself. There is in reality no difference between reading the word of God and hearing his audible voice. Number two, trust his character. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 and 4 says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you." You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. All whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is what? The eternal rock. God is the eternal rock. Notice what happens to those who trust in God's character. They are kept in what? Perfect peace. I want that. I want that every day of my life. I want to be in perfect peace. You know, when we go traveling on holidays, something usually happens. Last time an eagle went through our windscreen and totally smashed it, and we're 10 k's out of Meekatharra, and we could either stop and go back to Meekatharra or go up to Newman, 400 k's. We went to Newman. But that was a memorable moment that our family will never forget. Sally will, because she was at home. She was flying up. She didn't want to do the trip. But that was a memorable moment. But you know what? That whole time I was in perfect peace. And we've got to train ourselves to trust in God with everything in our lives. No matter what happens in our lives, we can have perfect peace, even through the good times, even through the bad times and the tough trials that we have. When we place our trust in God, we fix our thoughts upon him. That is when we consider and accept who he is and what he does and what he stands for. Then peace will come into our lives because we know that he will do what he says he will do. God is described as the eternal rock. What do you think of when you think of a rock? I think of stability. I think of its unchanging nature. I think of the foundation stone. God can be trusted no matter what we're dealing with because God is who he claims that he is, and he will never, ever, ever change. Do I get an amen? Amen. Number two. This is going to be hard for some of you people. Don't trust yourselves. I'm serious. Don't trust yourselves. Do not depend on your own understanding, it says. Do not depend on your own understanding. Funny thing happens when we begin to truly place our trust in God, we begin to realize how often our own reasoning is actually wrong. You see, while we can train our minds to think like God by studying and obeying his word, even that is relying on God, isn't it? But when we go outside of God's word and simply try to make decisions based on my intuition or my own feelings or my own conscience, I usually find out that the guidance I gave myself isn't just right. Psalm 16:2 says this, I love it. The psalmist was so right when he said this. He said, "I said to the Lord, you are my master. Every good thing I have comes from you." Often when we read this passage, we think of material possessions, but I think it goes a lot further than that. Every good thought we have comes from God. Every good decision we make comes from God. Every good path we take comes from God. Every good thing in our lives comes from God. Amen? Yes. It is not that God has created us as some kind of some dummies or something like that who can't make our own decisions, but we need to make sure that those decisions are bathed in the purpose of God. Because when we go our own way instead of God's way, it's always the wrong direction. And I've gone that wrong direction so many times in my life. Only to get the back of the head and redirected. And I tell you what, sometimes that slap up the back of the head is hard. And I don't like doing that. I don't like getting it. So stop, Sally. No. Jeremiah chapter 10, 23 and 24 says, I know, Lord, that our lives are not our own. We are not able to plan our own course. So correct me, Lord, but please be gentle. Do not correct me in anger, for I would die. Isn't that so true? You see, when you called upon the name of Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life, you're not only asking him to remove your sins and grant you eternal life. You are asking him to lead your life in the right direction. Because if you're like me, you had to come to the realization that you weren't doing a great job all on your own. And some of you, that's a real hard reality to accept or a pill to swallow, especially if you like controlling things. You see some elbows going in there. Proverbs 20:24 says, the Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way? The Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way? The biblical author is not asking us to check our brains out at the door. He is, however, stating that the reality of our situation, when we truly allow God to take control of our lives, we don't need to understand everything, okay? We do not need to understand everything. Some of us will die trying to find out everything. You do not need to understand everything, okay? That's his job. We just need to follow. Remembering, it's not a requirement that we follow, it's a response that we follow. Most likely we'll still be asking some of the why questions, like, why is this happening to me? Why, and so forth. But we will live in the satisfaction of knowing that no matter what we're going through, God is guiding us along the way. It doesn't mean everything is going to go exactly as we want it to, but that we will be going through everything with God in the driver's seat. He is always in control. And that is much more comfortable and secure place to be than going it on your own way. Now, big breath. I've got a testimony I want to share with you this morning. Do you have the microphone, Craig? I'd like to ask Eleanor Stone to come up. But I want you to be mindful that Eleanor is not a public speaker. She is very nervous. So as a family, I said, we will love her through this. And we're going to, as she's a sister, amen? Amen? Amen. And I'm going to help Eleanor through this. And as I said, it's usually the shy ones that we have to be very careful about. It's usually like, give me the microphone at the end of it. But you all right?
Yeah.
Great. So I'll ask you a couple of questions. When did you start coming to Hillside? You can use that if you want to put it on there.
July, August of last year. July, August of last year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. And what made you come back to church?
After not walking with the Lord for several years, just one day, I felt a pull in my heart, and I had a friend phone me about some ladies down in the country that were going around praying for people. And I said, oh, look, I really would love someone to pray for me. And I can't remember if it was that weekend or the weekend after that I met up with my friend and we prayed. And I spent, I don't know how long, on my knees asking the Lord to forgive me.
Yep. So why did you want these ladies to pray for you? Were you sick? Were you...
No.
No, you weren't at that stage?
No, I just believe that God had put it on my heart. That
wow. So the Holy Spirit was guiding you to get
I
some
believe
prayer?
So.
Yeah, okay.
I believe so,
he was
yeah.
guiding you to get that. So let's take it a little bit further. So you started coming to church when you had a health problem?
No. I came in when I knew that God loved me and he would never leave me or forsake me.
Yeah.
And I just knew in my heart,
it does matter. You're okay.
I came to Hillside in July, August last year. And just before that, I asked the Lord where he wanted me to worship. And a few years ago, I came past Hillside. Actually, I stopped and I watched all the people there on a Sunday morning. This was going back a few years ago. And I watched all the people come in to go to church. And then
speak closer.
Excuse me.
That's okay.
It's not the best. When I was coming, when I wanted to be guided to a church, God brought me straight to Hillside.
Okay. And it was a couple of months after that that you got diagnosed with having cancer. They found a few lumps and
they found one lump.
They found one lump. One big lump.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to talk us through that? What cancer, what sort of cancer was it? And...
It's funny because when I actually felt the lump and I wasn't over anxious about it even when I found out that there was a lump there.
Yeah.
And also at that time I knew that God's in this.
It's good. God's in it.
God's in it.
God's in it.
God knew.
Okay, so a lot of you people, some of you people who have been diagnosed with cancer, I mean Peter Taylor, it can be horrific. But if you're in God, there's a peace of God that really, really comes upon you. And just want to tell about the family here, what impact the family of God at Hillside had while you were going through chemo and all that.
Okay. I had the operation to have the lump taken out on the 27th of November, and they also did a lymph node clearance from under my right arm.
Yeah.
And that was good because they couldn't find any cancer in the lymph nodes, so that was a good thing. And but they still wanted me to go through the blanket therapy, which is chemo and radio. And the first chemo was fine. That was in January. And then in February I had the second chemo. And I got really, really sick. I can't describe the battle I had for about 5 weeks. And if it wasn't for the prayer, I just don't know if I'll be standing here right now because it was truly horrific.
Yeah.
And there were some particular people here who just were there for me and encouraged me and sent me beautiful text, which I've kept, and just encouragement on which I've kept on my phone. After the second chemo, when I got really sick, I found it very hard to be by myself. I didn't want to think. I didn't want to. There was some particular people that opened their house up to me, and they knew that the weekends for me, those 5 weekends, were the worst, and they just opened up their hearts and their home to me. I'm home, come over, you know, and I did that.
It's good.
And
thank you to those people too for doing that. That's great.
And another person was absolutely wonderful. She'd come over and she'd encourage me. And some ladies also from the prayer group we meet on a Monday, they've also been wonderful.
Yeah.
And everybody's been wonderful.
The thread I'm trying to get here is God's guidance. Not only God's guidance in Eleanor's walk with her battle with cancer, but God's guidance in you people being obedient to the call of God and looking after a fellow sister in Christ. And this is the thread that I'm trying to do. And you had prayer. Well, I was laughing with Eleanor because I remember standing up here
I'll finish it off. Yeah, it was earlier in the year. I think it was before that radical 5 weeks. But and I can't remember whether you asked people to come up who were sick or who had cancer.
Yeah.
And you were on stage and I was standing down there. And you come over and you pointed to me and you said, "You're going to be okay. You're going to be fine." And I just clung to that.
Yeah. It's good.
I did clung to it.
I remember that morning because I don't usually do that. And when I pointed over there, I said, "You're going to be okay." I knew she was battling cancer. I said, "You're going to be okay." And as I remember turning around going, "Oh, my goodness, what did I just say?" So I've been praying for her every day. But that was God. That was God. Because it wasn't me. I'm giving him all the glory. I just looked at her and I said, "You're going to be okay." So I saw the fear in her eyes. And we don't have to be fearful of either outcome. Whether we're going to be with Jesus or whether we're going to stay here, we are not fearful people. He did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power.
And of love.
And of love. And the sound mind. Amen. So,
I finished my radiotherapy 3 weeks ago now, 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yep.
And the oncology department don't want to see me anymore. My doctor believes I'm perfectly normal. I have no cancer.
We knew that.
Yeah, I know. And, So.
That's great. I haven't finished with you yet.
Oh.
I really believe Eleanor's got a story to tell. And I believe this is not the first time, and she's going, "Oh, no, don't say that." This is not the first time or the last time that she'll be sharing this story. So I just want to pray as a church, let's just pray for her, that God will just give her the boldness. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we give you all the glory for your healing power in Eleanor. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the doctors and the surgeons that have taken place, that you've orchestrated for her life. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for her friends her brothers and sisters in Christ here at Hillside, Lord, that carried her through and encouraged her. Lord, I pray a blessing upon them. But Lord, I lift up Eleanor right now and I just pray an almighty blessing upon her. Lord, I pray that you will give her strength each day. Lord, that she will just go from strength to strength to strength. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you haven't given her a spirit of fear, but you have given her a sound mind, a spirit of love and strength by the Spirit. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, let this story, let this testimony that glorifies you, Lord, be told over and over and over again. And we just thank you. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing here at Hillside. We thank you for what you're doing amongst your people. And we just want to give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. It wasn't hard, was it? Bless you. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Isn't God good? You know, as a pastor, that's what ministry is all about. It's seeing people being healed and watching the flock look after the flock. That's a family church. And that's what I love about Hillside. Number three, seek God's will. Seek his will. Life involves making lots of decisions about right and wrong. And God has given us a conscience to help us make these decisions. But as stated previously, unfortunately, the human conscience doesn't always give accurate readings. For instance, if you put an outdoor thermometer, okay, we're going to go into a science lesson now. If you put an outdoor thermometer on the back of your house, which many of us do, and your house sits beside a road or a highway or bitumen or a parking lot or another building, your thermometer can give readings of 5 to 10 degrees above the actual temperature. Well, when we get to 38 degrees in Perth, I always look at my thermometer and we're about 46 degrees up in Darlington. And I now realise that it may be a bit wrong, but concrete, bitumen, bricks absorb and reflect heat. To get the correct temperature readings in urban areas, the National Weather Service has strict guidelines for ideal thermometer exposure. In fact, the guidelines are so stringent, it's almost impossible to meet them in the city. Tom Skilling, chief meteorologist, writes this: a thermometer or its sensor should be located over grass in a white ventilated shelter 1.5 metres off the ground, at least 30 metres from all paved surfaces, and at least 150 metres away from any building. Unless you meet those guidelines, you cannot trust any thermometer. In the same way, under certain conditions, you can't trust your conscience to give accurate readings of God's perfect will. I'll say that again. In the same way, under certain conditions, you cannot trust your conscience to give accurate readings of God's perfect will. It says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Now, the best way to go about knowing God's will is to spend time in his word, as we mentioned earlier. Bible knowledge isn't all that we need in life. We also need biblical obedience, but that all begins with reading and learning and applying the Word of God in our lives. Remembering it's not a requirement, but a response that we do this. Okay, I'm not bringing law upon you. Once I've spent considerable time in God's word, I will begin intuitively to know what God's will in my life for many situations. For instance, I know that it's God's will for me to be able to witness to people. I know it's God's will for me to be kind to people. I know it's God's will for me to be charitable to people. I know it's God's will that I will love thy enemies, which is sometimes really hard to do. I know it's God's will to love people that don't live as Christians. I know that these things are all in God's will without any doubt whatsoever, because he has clearly, clearly revealed those things to me in his word of God. If my conscience tells me to do something that contradicts the word of God, then I know that my conscience is wrong. For instance, I and many pastors out there have had people come to them and come to me and tell them that they know that it's God's will that they had an affair. That God told them to go ahead and do it. They not only had an affair, they then got divorced. And then before they got remarried to that person, they stayed with them in their house. Or lived with the person before they got married. I'm not kidding you. I've heard this more than once, unfortunately. Now, what is our response to this? Well, we know that God's word completely and utterly contradicts what these people have to say. So which one is right? Is it the person that's going on his feelings and conscience and thinking that God's speaking to them and saying this is all right thing to do? Or is it God's word? God's word will carry every single time. Now, many times it's just much more subtle than that. We may justify by taking a small item home with us from the office and begin to excuse lies by simply exaggerations. I used to do that. Or something along those lines. I mean, don't think that I'm up here I'm always a good person. I've been, like Paul said, I've been the dirtiest of the dirties and the evilest of the evilest. We all have that propensity. But I tell you what, without the instruction of the Word of God in my life, I've transformed my life. And some of you people know me from a young kid. I've transformed my life to I'm now walking down a better path. And yes, sometimes I slip off the path. But I always go back to the Word of God to get me back on that path. But when we seek God's will in his word, we find out what the truth really is, don't we? Have you ever noticed how we avoid getting into God's word when we know that we're living in sin? Well, this is the reason why we do that. I think you get the idea. Always, 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 always go to God's word. If you really want to go in the right direction, go to his word. Some of us are slow learners and seek God's word after we've fallen, and that's okay. That's why we've got the word of God, to get us back on track. But if you're a slow learner, like I was, and sometimes is, save yourself the destruction, save yourself the agony. Get to know the Lord through his word. If you really want God to speak to you, if you're going, oh, gee, God, why don't you speak to me? Well, just read his word. And he'll speak to you every time. Can I have the music team up here, please? Now, I'm very much aware that I haven't given you all the answers to your problems in this message, nor have I given you anywhere close to all the guidance you're going to need throughout your life. But what I have given you this morning is a tool to find your way. And that tool is discovered in drawing closer and 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 closer to God. We do it through His Word and we do it through obeying His directions. When we do this, we will find guidance that we so desperately need. And we will be able to encourage and help others who are in desperate need, as we've heard this morning from Eleanor's testimony. And Eleanor, I've got your notes here. Come and see me afterwards. I'll give them to you. You know, life, pardon me for saying this, but I don't know the word to say it, but life can suck sometimes. Life can be so hard. You know, I get a lot of people coming into my office and sharing their life with me and their burdens and that, and yeah, I cry with them. And but the only thing that I've known in my 14 years of ministry is that when we turn to the Word of God together, the clouds start to have a silver lining. And I want to encourage each and every one of you here today that no matter what you're going through or what you've done, God wants to have a relationship with you. And you need to understand that. He knows you're not perfect, so don't try to be that perfect Christian. You know, I can't stand perfect Christians. Ugh. Actually, I don't know a perfect Christian, so. There's only one perfect Christian, and it's Jesus. He's the Lord of Lords, He's the King of Kings, He's the eternal rock, He's the rock of salvation. Just bow your heads. I just want you to, if there's anyone here that has never given their life to the Lord, or someone wants to recommit, or even just someone needs to repent. You know, the lovely thing about being in God's family is that I can go to Him as a father and say, "Dad, I've committed a sin that I know it's not good in your eyes. I repent, please forgive me for it." You know what the great thing about God is? That He will forgive me. He'll forgive you. And it's done with. You don't need to repeat it. He'll bring it back up. That's the God I serve. When I was a young man, I made a lot of stupid decisions, even in my marriage, at the beginning of my marriage. I made a lot of stupid mistakes because I was selfish. But through God's Word, He brought me to this course that I did, and the Word spoke to me through it. It's only Jesus Christ that can transform your life. It was only Jesus Christ that transformed my life. And part of our relationship with God is praying to God. It's just like just closing our eyes, or you can do it by opening your eyes, or you can do it anywhere, actually. You don't need a pastor or a preacher or a minister or anyone else to do it with you. You can do it yourself. You've got your personal access to God through Jesus Christ. And any time, any day, you can just go to Him and just say, "Heavenly Father, how you doing? Jesus, help me along this path that I'm going. Help me. Show me which direction I need to go." Read the Word of God and just speak to Him. Just have a personal relationship with Him. And each day as you do that, even when you're driving in the car, turn the radio off and just say, hey, Jesus, here I am. I'm going into work today and I've got this problem or I've got this person I need to deal with today. Please, Lord, give me direction in my life. Give me wisdom. Give me boldness. You know, King Solomon asked for wisdom and he got amazing amount. He could have asked for money or anything, but he asked for wisdom and God laid it on him because that was his will. You know, you might have left this morning with an argument with your wife or your husband or your kids and say, Lord, forgive me. Please help me to patch things up. Or you're just fed up with trying to do it on your own. You keep hitting brick walls and stuff like that. You just keep struggling through life. You know, God doesn't want you to struggle. God wants to, he gives you joy, an abundance of joy. And if you're not having joy in your life, accept Jesus Christ into your life now and just with a simple prayer saying, Jesus, I believe in you. Forgive my sins. I believe in who Kerry said you were. You are. I want to follow you from this day. I want to follow you. I want to be part of a big family that loves and cares for each other and knowing that you provide all, knowing that you guide us all. Knowing that you love us. Knowing that you'll always give me an out. Knowing that you'll always put me on the right path. Wow. If there's people in this room here with sickness that needs healing today, I've got oil here. I want to anoint you with oil. I want you to, as we stand in a minute, I want you to come forward and I want the elders to come. I want to pray for you. You know, God's been doing some amazing things here at Hillside and healing's just part of it. We've been praying to see signs and wonders. Well, we've seen signs and wonders, people. And we're going to keep seeing signs and wonders because we're going to be bold in our faith to keep declaring healing. If you just want someone to pray with, if you just want to be loved up and encouraged through prayer this morning, I want you to come forward while we sing the song. You know, we're a family of brothers and sisters. That's what God created us for, to worship Him and to love one another. And we're seeing it. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you so much for what you're doing in our lives. We want to give you all the glory and all the praise and all the worship. And part of that, Lord, we're going to stand to our feet now. We're going to sing to you. We're going to sing with all gusto. Because we believe, we believe, we believe, we believe in who you are and what you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand.
I see the King of glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. I see His love and mercy washing over all I see. The people see, the people see. Hosanna in the highest. I see a generation.
Come on.
Rising up to take their place with selfless faith. With selfless faith. I see a new we pray and see. We're on our knees. We're on our knees. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna.
Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. 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 Heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart, Lord Jesus. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I walk from earth into eternity. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray this week that you will give us, Lord, the time. Actually, that we will make time, Lord, to build our relationship with you, to get into your word. Heavenly Father, I pray also for divine appointments this week. Lord, I pray, Lord, lay people on our minds that you'd like us to get on the phone and just encourage, or to pick up the phone and just say g'day to someone. Well, I pray right now, give us those people's names right now. And Lord, I just pray right now that you, with those names, Lord, that you will give us the boldness to be able to pick up the phone and speak to them. But Lord, I pray, guide our conversation. Direct us, Holy Spirit, I pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray for next week's service when the band of brothers come here. Lord, we pray that you just anoint the speakers this week. We ask that you protect them this week as well. But Lord, we're expecting of greater and greater and greater and mightier things as we journey with you. Lord, we pray for healing right now in the house of the Lord. In your mighty name, through Jesus Christ, we pray for healing. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray for restoration in relationships. Lord, I pray a blessing upon each and every individual and every family member that's represented in this house this morning. May we be able to give you the glory of everything in our lives. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.